everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we are live right now. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Christopher, and we welcome you to the broadcast as well. Andrew, welcome. It's good to have you back, my friend.
Hey, great to be here, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I know our listeners love hearing from you, hearing your insights into the Word of God. So thank you for sharing those with us. We've been talking, Andrew and Richard, this week all about the love of God and really taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul defined the love of God for us. And these are action statements, 15 action statements that describe what God's love is all about. And Paul used 7 positive statements, and then he used 8 negative statements. And from that, we really see just the many facets of the love. And it's not just an ushy-gushy feeling. It's not feeling warm, fuzzy all over about somebody. It's really rolling up your sleeves and getting involved in somebody's life, doing things for them that they may not be able to do for themselves. That's exactly what God did for us. And it all centers on truth. And I love this one phrase in here. It says, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing or at evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It's a celebratory love. I remember guys a number of years ago, Mackenzie came to me, my youngest daughter, and said, Dad, I would like to get baptized. And so one Sunday morning, we arranged for her to be baptized. And I had the pleasure of baptizing her. And boy, our Metro Bible group was there back in those days watching this. And as she came up out of the water, immediately there was just this thunderous applause and excitement from everybody out in the audience. And that's what this rejoicing is all about. It's sharing in the joy of someone else. And that's what happened that day. And we see in like Luke's gospel in Luke 15, when the prodigal son returns, there's a party. There's a party when the one sheep out of the 100 is found. They bring it back, and there's rejoicing. When that one coin is found, there's rejoicing. And the Luke says that for those who repent and come to Christ and are made alive, there's rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because they're celebrating the power of truth in a person's life to set us free from the wages of sin and to deliver us into new life in Jesus Christ. It is a powerful love. It is a wonderful love. It's a love to rejoice in when others receive it and experience. It's just powerful, isn't it, guys?
Oh, my goodness, Bob. The love of God is such a big deal. It's plastered all over the New Testament. And you think about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And we often talk on the program about this in Ephesians. It talks about the love of God and being filled up to the measure of the fullness of God. All of that is about knowing His love and basking in His love and setting your mind on His love. We're not talking about a feeling here. We're talking about a fact. And, you know, Romans tells us that God demonstrated His love through Jesus on the cross. I'm sure we can add the resurrection into that, because, you know, that's what love is time spent. You talked about, you know, molding and shaping and investing in people's lives. Well, that's what God has done for us in the presence of His Spirit. He is molding and shaping and investing in us 24/7 without interruption. There He is. So this is not "for God so loved the world" in a generic sense or a general way. This is a local, specific indwelling. It's the love of God through the pouring out of his life into us. So that is how God is spelling love. If you want to know the love of God, number one, look to Jesus, look to the cross, and look to the resurrection. And then because of that, it is time spent with us every day, all day long, his presence and his power inside of us. That is the demonstration of God's love.
Thank you. Thank you, Drew, for those insights. And as Paul finishes the definition, he ends with this phrase, love never ends or love never fails. And it's a word that means to fall away. God's love never falls away. God's love is plan A, and there is no plan B. Yeah. So he's just going to love us. That's just what God is going to do. And as Drew was saying, love us 24/7, 365. This is active. This is present. This is happening right now. God is loving you. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you can hear the sound of my voice, then right now, God is loving you. And that is a powerful truth, a powerful reality. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher, and we certainly welcome you to the broadcast as well. We have a wonderful offer this month. It's my book, Love Is. We really want you to understand the depths of God's love for you. Love does. It's an action, but you're not going to know what love does until you understand what love is and how God demonstrated that love for you in the person and work of Christ Jesus. So this is a fabulous resource. We want to put it in your hands, and it's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So when you go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button and fill out all of that information, be sure and request your copy of Love Is. We'll get it into your hands as quickly as possible. And when you're there, notice that we have a $50,000 Basic Gospel matching gift challenge, which means every dollar that you give will be doubled in impact. So if you give 50, it's like giving 100. If you give 500, it's like giving 1,000, all the way up to 50,000. So take advantage of this Basic Gospel matching gift challenge. Double the impact of your gift in giving the good news of Jesus Christ during this Christmas season. And again, all of that information is available at our website at basicgospel.net. There's a big banner right on the front page for the matching gift challenge. Just click that, follow all the information. And once you do, be sure and request your copy of Love Is. Well, guys, we have a good number of people waiting for us on the phone lines. Again, if you would like to call us, 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Call right now. Well, let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, this is Will Sharp, and I'm saying this to magnify God's love through the last words of "It is finished," and I want to hear your comment on it. I've been discussing with a friend of mine Adam's choice of unbelief that Adam made to separate mankind from God, and God's pursuit of man to the finish line of the cross. Now, here's what I'd like to hear your comments on. We are new creations in Christ, 7! We are not restored to Adam's start before the fall. Our new state in Christ far exceeds his starting point. That's it.
Okay. Well, yeah, Clay, that's interesting. That's something that Bob and Richard and I have talked about on and off over the years, and I know that a lot of folks who are very acquainted with the New Covenant message, we toy around with this important topic. You know, you look at Hebrews, and it says we have something better, we have something greater under the New Covenant because of the cross, because of the resurrection. We have a better deal than the Old Testament believers had. But then you bring Adam and Eve into it, and there's a bit more to talk about. My goodness, I mean, do we have a better deal than Adam and Eve? Well, at least we can say this. Adam and Eve sinned one time, and they lost life. We sin every day, and we never lose life. So to me, that is a very big deal. It is one of the key differences between what Adam and Eve experienced. They were walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day, and maybe the emphasis needs to be on with. They were with God. But we don't know for certain exactly what sort of union with the Christ life that they had. We know that God breathed the breath of life and gave them life, and they were created beings and living souls, and they were walking with God, and they were innocent and pure and perfect, and it was a perfect world, and it was awesome. But wait a minute. Why is everyone talking about Pentecost? And why was everyone waiting for power from on high? And why is the resurrection the linchpin of Christianity? There is something here that the Hebrew author wants us to know. When he says it's greater, it's better on this side of the cross, I believe that he is referring to this new covenant relationship, which involves a union. We're united with Christ. We're one spirit with the Lord. We're raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And as I said, Adam and Eve sinned one time, and they lost life. In the day that you eat of this, you will die. Well, we sin every day, and we never lose life. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Nothing separates us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So the permanence of God's presence, the permanence of our union with Christ, to me, that is one of the greatest deals of all in this new covenant that we need to celebrate to the fullest. Does that help, my friend?
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Clay, and thank you, Andrew. Boy, you like you said, we have talked about that so often, and it's one of those questions that people ask. You know, are we just like Adam and Eve, or are we better? And as you said, I think we're better.
we're better off.
Yeah, we're better off, and that's the deal. What God has done for us is just beyond compare, and that's why this is such good news, to know that we're new creatures in Christ, that Christ lives in us, and that we are one with him forever. Well, thanks, Clay. Thanks for that great question. Let's go to Taylor, Michigan, and talk with Tony, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMUZ. Hi, Tony.
Gentlemen,
welcome to Basic Gospel.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for allowing me to be on the program. I do listen quite regularly, and I'm impressed with the knowledge that I hear coming through your messages. I had an interest. We've been studying the book of Genesis, and an interesting question came up regarding, it's ironic because you guys have been talking about God's love. What do you think was the determining factor, the straw that broke the camel's back with regards to his destruction of mankind with the flood? That's my question. And we had a bad connection, but it seems to have cleared up here. So, good.
Well, good. Well, that's an interesting question. And thank you, Tony, for asking that. Guys, what do we think? Why did God do what he did in flooding the world and just saving Noah and his family out of that?
Well, Genesis 6.
In consideration of God's love. God is all love, and he's all knowledgeable. He knew what was going to happen. I'm just curious as to, it just seems to defy his love. If he loved us so much, why did he destroy the earth?
Well, Genesis 6 tells us, starting in verse 5, that the Lord, and in this case that means God himself, saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and at every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. I believe that the flood was the result of God choosing to protect a remnant from the rest of the world. If things had gotten so bad, so evil, the most loving thing to do for those who weren't evil, and it turns out it was only Noah, and his family kind of comes along for the ride, God was willing to protect them at all costs. I mean, think of this as a very large picture of what would happen in the local church For instance, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul says, what are you guys doing? You've got a leader there who's having sex with his father's wife. Not even the pagans do that stuff. You must protect the church. And in this case, God was protecting the rest of the world from itself. As near as I can tell, and it doesn't say here, so some of this is speculation, if God had allowed this to go on, the world would have destroyed itself. Humanity would have found a way to destroy everything. Well, that's not humanity's plan, that's Satan's plan. And God's not going to allow Satan's plan to win. And so he cleaned it off, he started over with Noah, and noticed that the promise continued. Right? He gave the promise to Adam and Eve that, you know, through your seed, we're going to crush the head of the serpent. And he gets to Noah and says, I'll never do this again. Noah's offspring include Abraham, and through his seed, the world's going to be blessed. This is God working from the beginning of our recorded history through to the present to make sure that Satan could not win. And in fact, there was never any contest. Satan just wanted to destroy everything because he knew he couldn't win.
Well, it did say in one of the verses that Noah found favor with the Lord, and thank God for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. Yeah, that was... Noah walked with God.
Can you imagine how he must have, how faithful he was in consideration that he had to build that ark and take that long, and you know, nobody at that point had ever heard of rain. There wasn't even any rain. Anyhow, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for answering that question. It just puzzled me.
Yeah. Well, Tony, you know, another thing that really occurs to me here, guys, is just we've got a fairness issue that we wrestle with as humans all the time. You know, Basic Gospel, we'll hear this now and then. You know, it doesn't seem fair. What about the fall? What about the flood? What about the cross? What about those who've never heard? What about this and what about that? And ultimately, I think in the backdrop of all this question is the question of fairness. And, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but my two cents here is that, you know, humility comes into play, and I think we at some point just have to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord, that there is any rescue. Thank you that there is a plan and there is a way, and thank you that I get to benefit from what you initiated in rescuing us. We went rogue. We went independent. We bailed on you. We decided that we could live apart from you, and you pursued us. You chased us. You did what you had to do in order to rescue us, and thank God there is a way of rescue today. So that was in an ark at one point for Noah. For us, it's through the cross and the resurrection. And, you know, we can sit back with our human understanding and try to say, how is this just and how is this fair? Ultimately, though, at the end of the day, we submit to the Lord. And I think that creates a genuine sense of thankfulness. You know, it's like a life raft. I mean, we don't want to be complaining that not everybody got in. But thank God that there was a life raft, period. And that's what, who Jesus is for us. Through the blood and through his spirit living in us.
Absolutely. Well, let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, Bob and Andrew. How y'all been doing?
Well, we're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I was trying to figure out what is the best way to witness to a Jehovah's Witness. I try my today, not to my door this morning, and I tried my best, you know, to, you know, tell them the gospel. I was asking them, so basically, what are you trying to tell me? Like, what is the gospel? And, you know, they gave me all sorts of answers. You know, I was trying to get to the main point. And, of course, I got to the point about Jesus, or the Bible claims that he's God, and they said that he's not. So, and I'm not really too familiar with the Watchtower. I don't really know what that is. Is that like a Bible or their own rewritten Bible, or what is that? So,
well, good question, Duran. Andrew, how do we answer that? What do we say? And you know, when they come to our door, is there really a chance that we can persuade them into the kingdom and seeing truth?
Well, there is, you know, talking about the Watchtower, I mean, that is a government that they have, an organization that they lead, the Watchtower Bible Society. And, you know, they're basing all of their beliefs on a few people. You need to know that up front. I mean, there's a man named Russell and another Rutherford, and a lot of their beliefs are stemming from those teachings of one or two individuals in particular. You know, they have disagreement with us concerning the deity of Christ, concerning the Holy Spirit and what salvation is and the Trinity. So I don't think that they're knocking on your door to learn from you and to ask for your wisdom and, oh, let's just engage in a healthy back and forth and it'll be a two-way conversation. I mean, they are there with an agenda. And, you know, knowing that going in, I think that's why at one point in the New Testament we're told, hey, you know, save yourself the conversation. Don't even open the door to such a type of person because, you know, they're not there to hear what you might have to say. They're really trying to convince and persuade and twist the true meaning of the gospel. So I, you know, in summation, I would just say this, my friend, that, you know, we can help people who want help, and we can witness to people who are looking for answers. And, you know, God can provide life to those who are truly seeking life, but some people are not. They've got their own agenda. They've got their own reasons for trying to be persuasive. And I wouldn't feel guilty one bit about just ignoring that message altogether and not opening the door to them and not engaging with them. You know, it's much better to be sensitive to God's Spirit and say, Lord, show me the people that are hurting and that are needy and that want answers, and teach me how to be sensitive to what you're doing, Lord Jesus Christ, as I trust you in the lives of hurting people around me.
Yes, that's. Thank you for that answer. And I was thinking that too. I was trying, you know, have a little patience, and maybe they'll listen. But I think you're right. They have one agenda. They're not trying to hear you.
Right.
They're trying to push on that false doctrine that they have, which is, you know, the spirit of the Antichrist.
Right.
You know, they're teaching you lies.
Right.
Yeah, it gets down to truth and error, and as somebody that has the Spirit of God living in them, you have the source of discernment in you, and really, you know, all of these organizations like Jehovah Witnesses and others, it all gets down to what do they say about Jesus, and what is the plan of salvation. And what you're going to find in every single one of them, they're not going to agree with the Bible concerning Jesus, and they will have some works-based program, some works-based system in order to be saved. So all you can do in a conversation is really point that out and say, hey, we differ concerning Jesus. I believe that he's God, and because he's God, he can actually deliver on his promises and on the work that he's accomplished. And I believe there's only one way to be saved, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus, in this one who became one of us. And you totally disagree with that. And so there's the two issues right there. So if you have those conversations and can point that out and can show the contrast, then you just leave it at that. So, well,
right,
Deron,
thank you.
You are welcome. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Andrew, as always, thanks for joining us. Boy, this time has flown by, we've missed your voice over the last couple of weeks. So glad to have you back, my friend.
Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we have a wonderful resource this month. It's called Love Is. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And we have an exciting $50,000 matching gift challenge going on right now. So take advantage of that. Double the impact of your gift to give the gospel of Jesus this Christmas season. All the information is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the big donate button and follow all the instructions while you're there. Be sure and request your copy of Love Is. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel.